This week on the show, it's a victory Monday for the Patriots and the Celtics, and Jimmy Murphy of CLNS Media joins us to talk about why the Bruins are not included on that list. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Another victory Monday on the Calling It podcast. Alex Barth and Alex Lebowitz with you. How's it going?
Going well.
So a double victory Monday here. Patriots last night, Sunday night, of course, in Denver, the big win. And the Celtics with a couple of improbable wins.
Yep, 12 in a row
over the weekend.
Now?
11.
11 in a row.
No, 12. No, you're right. It's 12.
Yeah,
it's 12.
Yesterday was 12.
Because I tweeted out the Tom Brady picture after,
yep.
Of course. This
is, again,
the Calling It podcast powered by CLNS Media. My name's Alex Barth. He's Alex Lebowitz. We'll be taking you through the weekend that was in sports, the week that will come. Jimmy Murphy joins us a little later to talk Boston Bruins. But let's start with what we saw this weekend. You want to start Celtics or Patriots?
Let's start Celtics.
All right, let's start Celtics. So Friday night against Charlotte. Kyrie goes down earlier in the game, so you're now down. Horford was out with a concussion. Mm-hmm. Kyrie and obviously Gordon Hayward, three best players off the floor. They come back from down 18 to win the game, and you're left wondering what could possibly stop the Celtics team. Fast forward to Sunday afternoon, a bad offensive foul call, a flop by Fred VanVleet. Looks like the Celtics might lose the winning streak, but some great defense. Two great defensive plays this weekend, really. One for Marcus Morris against Charlotte.
Yep.
And then it was, I believe, Horford.
No, it was Brown.
Brown, you're yep. right. It was Brown against Toronto.
Yeah, DeRozan.
On DeRozan. And these, what can beat the Celtics at this point?
I don't know. I think, you know, the one guy getting a lot of praise right now, rightfully so, is Brad Stevens. And I feel like the season's a coming out party for him specifically. He has a brand new roster he's working with, and I think it's the perfect type of roster for him. A lot of young guys who love to be coached and are easy to coach, and they're excelling because they have a man at the helm in Brad Stevens who knows what to do with this team. And it just seems like they're on some type of run, and it's making me. I'm starting to wonder maybe this team can get past the Cavaliers.
Oh, I think that's a foregone conclusion at this point. But I'm on record saying I don't think the Cavs get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And given we're 14 games into the season, but right now the Celtics look like they're playing the type of basketball, you know, a team of destiny plays. And I hate to use that expression, but it's true.
It's beyond true. When you're winning without your three best players, that's just destiny stuff right there. I will say this, not to bring everybody down here on a Victory Monday, but last year, this team was such front runners, and that it was all well and good when they were winning, but the second there was a bad foul call or somebody missed an open shot, they'd start sulking their shoulders and things would spiral. You only have four players left from last year's team, so obviously it's a different locker room, but when the Celtics lose, 80-2, when the Celtics lose, how are they going to respond? Is it going to be like, all right, well, we gave it a good try. We had the win streak. I guess it can't go on forever. They'll tuck their tail between their legs and go home. Or can they lose a game and then rebound by winning four or five straight? And I'm not saying they can't.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm not saying I want them to lose, but it's going to be interesting to see the response after a loss. And coming up, they have the Nets on Tuesday.
Yep.
And then Thursday night in Boston, Kyrie should be back. Horford's been back. It looks like they'll be at full strength, Gordon Hayward, but full strength, they have the Golden State Warriors. And that, if they beat the Nets, which is a little bit of a trap game, but I think they will in Brooklyn, if they beat the Nets, that becomes the most hyped NBA regular season game in years.
At least of the season so far. And in regard to your question, how would they respond after a loss? They've already responded to adversity. When Gordon Hayward went down,
That's a good point.
They almost won over the Cavaliers game one. They lost the next game, but have won 12 straight since then. Kyrie Irving goes down. They're down 18. And they come back and win that game Friday night against the Hornets. This team's already responded to adversity, and they're inevitably going to lose. They'll respond, though, because they're a well-coached team, and they have a lot of high-character guys. This Thursday against the Golden State Warriors, it's going to be quite a game, and it is going to be hyped up. I don't know about the most hyped game in years, but it's definitely the
regular
most hyped
season
game. My most hyped regular season game in years, but it's definitely the most hyped one of the season, even if they lose on Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to it, and this Celtics team has been so much fun to watch. It'll be great.
And we'll have more on that Thursday game next week. Make sure you tune into the show. Follow us on Twitter at Callin' It Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. And, of course, we're now on the CLNS Media app. You can download that for your smartphone. From the 10-game winning streak to the 5-game winning streak, but it's football, so 5-game winning streak is like a 15-game winning streak in the NBA. Patriots pick up the big win Sunday night in Denver. All three phases looked good. There were some people – I want to start here. There were some people at the beginning of the season criticizing Belichick for personnel moves, leaving certain players off the team for special teams guys who really only have one role on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And after the last two games, I'm going to include San Diego in this, but really last night, special teams is driving this Patriots team right now.
Oh, yeah. That block from Burkhead, who you don't really look at as a big special teams player.
Four-down player. That's what they were saying. You don't look at him as a special teams player.
No.
The whole thing when they signed was, oh, he's a four-down player. Belichick's going to love this guy.
Absolutely. And you know, him and Brandon Bolden, two running backs who have been huge for this team's special team. Obviously, the Deion Lewis 103-yard kick return. But I think more than the execution of the Patriots special teams, there was just a lot of crappy special teams play from the Broncos. And that's what the Patriots do. They let other teams shoot themselves in the foot. That's exactly what happened. They played pretty well. It's not like they excelled, like their offensive line excelled, but it was more letting the Broncos beat themselves than the Patriots winning that game last night.
And you mentioned the offensive line. They played great. Von Miller was invisible. And not having Marcus Cannon either. They left Adrian Waddle one-on-one with Miller at times. I thought he played well. Nate Solder's been playing better.
He's been good.
Better. Yeah, he's been good. Okay. I thought the offensive line played well last night. And look, depleted receivers. Brady didn't get over 300 yards, but he had three touchdowns. The completion percentage was high. You're right, nine different targets. How about Dwayne Allen? I said on the CLNS Media Patriots pregame show that Dwayne Allen could be due for a big game, using Martellus Bennett as a distraction. Mm-hmm. I think one catch for a touchdown qualifies as a big game for Dwayne Allen.
Relative to what else he's done this season, that's a huge game. Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that Brady hit nine different targets it gives you an insight on why a lot of people didn't completely freak out when Edelman went down. Obviously, when you add Martellus Bennett, that's going to add depth to that wide receiving core. And when you have time, it's going to give you the time to hit a guy like Dwayne Allen in the end zone. So just a sound game. And you're seeing it right now, week 9, the Patriots, or week 10, the Patriots playing sound and kind of coming into their own. And you know, first month of the season, sloppy football. But right now, we're seeing a Super Bowl caliber team in the Pats. And I think last night shows you that they're back on track, and they're clearly the favorites, not only in the AFC, but they're the favorites in the NFL. Stop it with the Eagles being the Super Bowl favorites. It's the Patriots that.
It's a typical, you know, Patriots season where, all right, the beginning was kind of tough. But last night, my brother texted me last night. He was right. Last night was such a classic Patriots win.
Oh, yeah.
It's the second half of the season. The Patriots are in the mix. This was the beginning, I think, of them starting to establish themselves as, no, we're not in the mix. For lack of a better term, the Patriots are about to curb stomp the rest of the NFL.
Yes. Because
that's what they do in the second half of the season. And look, their biggest competition, at least in the AFC, you get to the Super Bowl, anything can happen. I'm not going to go that far yet. But their biggest competition in the AFC is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who almost lost to the Indianapolis freaking Colts yesterday.
And didn't Joe Hayden go down? Is he up for the season?
And they lost Joe Hayden. You're absolutely right. So, you know, we'll see what happens going into Mexico City next week. Maybe. I don't know what's happening with the volcano, but
yeah, I saw that.
There's plenty of adversity next week. We will see. But after that, every game but one is a divisional game. You have Pittsburgh week 15, and it's probably going to be for home field advantage in the AFC, just like it was last year. They're as much as people freaked out, and what did I say all September? Yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. Because what I say, they'll figure it out.
Yep.
You know who played really well last night? We didn't talk about it. Stephon Gilmore.
I didn't hear his name called a ton, which is a good sign.
I did, but for good reasons. Yeah. Demaryius Thomas is the ideal matchup for him.
Yeah.
But Stephon Gilmore played, I thought, really well last night. Mm-hmm. Not just good as in he wasn't in the picture. I thought he was a plus last night.
Yeah. Net positive for sure.
So the Patriots move on to the Raiders next week, and of course we'll talk about that game on the show next Monday. I want to throw in like a half a victory Monday here for a team. The Boston Red Sox are engaging in talks for Giancarlo Stanton. They're moving along. You can check out our comments on that a couple weeks ago on the show. But two things, actually. Engaging actively on Stanton and saying they're not worried about the luxury tax. Victory Monday for the Red Sox. They're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Let's hope they don't overpay.
You know what? Whatever. It's Stanton. I don't think you can overpay for that guy.
There's a couple untouchables. We can talk about
that. Talk about that when it happens. There was one team you may have noticed we left out of Victory Monday. They had a really rough weekend. On the other side, Jimmy Murphy of Murphy's Hockey Law explains why. Keep it here. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Hey, Lubowitz, you're a basketball fan, right?
Big time.
Must be excited the season's back?
Of course, yeah.
We know you can use your basketball knowledge, your fantasy basketball knowledge, to win huge cash prizes every night playing one-day fantasy basketball at DraftKings.com.
There's a ton of ways to play at DraftKings, too.
Public contests with huge cash prizes. I love how they bold huge. They want people to know that the money's really there.
Huge.
You compete against all your bragging rights, right? The money's cool, but it's all about the bragging rights as well.
And you don't have to be that big of a fan. They got beginners, casual contests, the people who want to risk more money, all shapes and sizes for DraftKings.
You get taken to task by hoop heads. Go up against somebody's girlfriend. Win easy money. The best part, you get to draft a new team every day. Look, drafting's the best part. I'm in three fantasy leagues that I don't check. I just wanted to do the draft.
Yeah, and the only thing better than fantasy is winning cash while you do it. You can do that on DraftKings. It's great.
So ask Dan from St. Louis or Jeremy from Austin. Both turned a $3 entry into thousands of bucks. That's a heck of a turnaround.
Yep, huge cash prizes and bragging rights, which me and my friends, we battle on there, which is great.
With the group chats, it's all about the bragging rights. And if you use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com, you can play free with your first deposit for a share of $10,000 in total prizes. They're giving you money for a chance to win $10,000. It's outstanding. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com now to choose your lineup, and you can seriously cash in tonight. That's code CLNS only at DraftKings.com. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Welcome back to Callin' It, and we're celebrating Victory Monday a segment ago. You may have noticed there was one team we left out. The Boston Bruins dropped a couple of tough games to the Toronto Maple Leafs over the weekend. They have been hot and cold coming out of the gate. I don't want to say it's been all bad, but there's been struggles. To help us pick through it, from Murphy's Hockey Law, CLNS Media, Jimmy Murphy joins us on the phone. How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing great. You guys?
We're doing well.
Doing well.
Now, I want to start with Tuukka Rask, because you are one of the more premier Tuukka Rask defenders on the Twitter sphere, and you probably watch more Bruins hockey than anybody else. Tuukka gets a lot of criticism. What are people missing that they can't appreciate in his game?
I would say that the fact, well, let's just start with the factors in front of him, and this is not to excuse some of the bad goals he's let in, which he has. He has not been his best this year thus far, and he'll be the first to tell you that. But, you know, people tend to ignore other factors and just lay it all on the goalie, just like they do, whether it's football, they're going to lay it all on the quarterback, or baseball, it's all going to be on the pitcher. And I get it, and, you know, I had a good conversation with him last week, and I think he understands that as well, and he knows it's part of the territory. But, I mean, let's look at this team in front of him right now, guys. I mean, they're a mismatched team. They haven't been healthy since the year started. They're missing really key players. They got a lot of youngsters out there making a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of run and gun, back and forth type hockey. Really no defense in front of them. You look at those two games in Colorado where he was in net for both of them. It was a home and home. It was one here and one in Colorado, and they lost both, and, you know, it wasn't pretty, but you can't put that on him. I mean, if you go back and you actually watch the games and you watch the plays develop, there's a zillion grade A chances that he stopped, but he's not going to stop them all. He's human. And, you know, I think people need to understand that with the shift in style and age going on with the Bruins right now, the other teams are going to get more chances. The other teams are going to pile up the shots. They're going to get a lot of breakaways, a lot of two-on-ones. You can't expect your goalie to save every single one. It's just not. It's not possible. And you know, I look back. I'm going to show my age here, but I think back to the old Edmonton Oilers. And you know what? I won't even go back that far. I'll go back more where people can relate right now. Look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the team they just got swept by. Now, those were more defensive games by the Maple Leafs. It wasn't necessarily the team we saw in the first 2 weeks. But if you look at that Maple Leafs team in the first 2 weeks, they reminded me a lot of the team I was just going to mention, the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s. And they're going back and forth, back and forth. And you know, go back and check Grant Fuhr, okay? This guy was exactly the type of goalie that I think the Bruins need Tuukka Rask to be right now, and I think he's been close to it. Yet, like I said, he hasn't been there yet, but he's going to save more than he gives up. But is he going to give up more goals? Yes, he is, because there's no defense in front of him. And if you go back to Grant Fuhr, you look at Frederik Andersen right now with the Leafs, you know, they're giving up more goals than usual because of the style being played in front of them. Unfortunately, unlike the Oilers and the Leafs, the Bruins don't have the finishers or the scoring or the skill that those teams had. They don't have it yet. They're developing it. It will come. But the fans need to be patient. And, you know, I know it's frustrating Tuukka as well, but he's starting to get used to it. And we're only, you know, mid-November right now, and I think people need to chill.
And you mentioned that developing and the scoring young talent. It's been tough at times to nail down the identity of this Bruins team. Are they a young team that has some veterans left on the roster, or are they an old team with a few young pieces in place?
I think they're the former. I mean, I definitely think, I mean, right now, as we speak, and this is more dictated by the injuries they have, I believe the average age in the team right now is 24. So they're pretty young. And, you know, when they get some guys back, that might go up to like 26. But yeah, they're a young team with a leftover veteran core from their cup contending years, which weren't that long ago. And, you know, that's a dilemma, I think, that is going to rear its ugly head. Maybe they can't really see it right now, and they don't want, or maybe they don't want to see it. But, you know, I think obviously, like I said, they haven't been healthy all year. It's hard right now to identify exactly who they are. And if they're applying the identity they want to, which Cassidy told me the other night, was, you know, a team that's hard to play against, a team that attacks. We've seen that in spurts. I wouldn't necessarily say they're as hard to play against as much as they attack. And I think they're just trying to find that happy medium. But again, I don't know. I just find it tough right now to allow myself to really judge this team just yet. Whether they want to call it or not, it's a rebuild on the fly. And so I think you really have to take a game at a time and take everything with a grain of salt. And, you know, I get that, you know, anyone that's about, what, 33 to 35 and under, that's a sports fan in Boston are basically spoiled brats. And I mean that in a good way. I mean, and, you know, they've been lucky as hell, and all they've known is championships, you know, with everything that's gone on since about 2002, right? So I get it, but at the same time, you can't fall into this mindset and think that that's always how it's going to be. Sometimes you need to fall back a bit and recycle and regroup, and then you'll get back to where you want to be as a perennial contender. And I think that's where the Bruins are right now, and unfortunately a lot of media and fans just don't want to accept that.
We're talking to Jimmy Murphy of CLNS and murphyshockeylaw.net. And you've mentioned it, Jimmy, a ton of injuries on this team so far early on in the season. But what have your impressions been of Bruce Cassidy, who's in his first full season as Bruins head coach?
Well, again, like I said, I'm hesitant to put a full judgment out yet. But, you know, I think we're getting deep enough into the season. And I'm going to judge more, not him, his overall body. Right now, I'm more focused on how he's handling the injuries, just like how the players are as well. And, you know, if I was going to grade him, I'd say a B-, C-plus, B-minus maybe. And that might be being generous a little, because I think right now he's – and I can't blame him. Like, this isn't me knocking him, guys. I mean – I think most coaches, unless, you know, you're Bill Belichick or maybe Mike Babcock, who I thought absolutely schooled him in those two games against the Leafs, you know, unless you're one of the elite coaches, I don't think any of the coaches going to react any differently. And I think right now with Cassidy, he's caught off guard and he's trying so many different things. And yet he's not giving those things enough time to see if they work, you know. And I'm talking about line changes, D pairings, systems he's applying. You know, he says he wants to be hard to play against and attack, right? But, you know, every game it seems like they're going into a different mode. And, you know, most teams, and I think it's the way to go, but I don't know if maybe it's the people above him that aren't letting him just stick with it. When you have so many injuries like this, you need to keep it simple. You need to just play your game, not do too much. You need to play, unfortunately, for all those Claude Julien haters around here, and you know I've defended him as well, but you need to play Claude Julien hockey. Boring, simple hockey. That's how you win through injuries like this. And that's how you – really, I mean, it's not going to be exciting, but wins are exciting, right? And that's – I think right now that maybe he's got to block out the outside noise from us or from even his bosses – and do what his gut says. And, I saw it when they first started to get hurt. He was playing that simplified hockey, and they were battling, and they were winning. That's gone away right now. And right now I think the effort's there, but they're just sort of confused out there.
And you mentioned that style, and a guy who might fit that style. You had this tweet last night. It got my old-school hockey interest peaked. Jerome Iginla, you threw his name out as a possible fit for the Bruins. What is the latest you've heard on that? What are the odds on that?
Well, you know, and I think, did you see my follow-up tweet as well?
Which I read.
Yeah, about the Penguins?
So. Yes, yeah, I did see
okay.
That, yeah.
So, look, I think as far as a fit, I think he's definitely a fit for the Bruins. I think the big question is, are they a fit for him? I know he loved his time here. He loved it so much that he's built a house in Brookline, Mass. 2 years ago. And that's where he resides. And he's coaching his kids' team at a local school where they go here. He practices with some college teams, and he's very active in the hockey community around here right now. And he definitely wants to get back in the NHL, as Nick Kiprios reported on Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night. You know, he'd like to play another year and maybe get another shot at the Cup. And that right there is the key where I think, yeah, he's what the Bruins would love. He'd bring that leadership in right now, and especially when a lot of this leadership is banged up and they're kind of in and out of the lineup. I think he's the type of guy that's usually pretty healthy, and he's obviously been working out a lot, so he'd be in good shape. He'd be a great fit in that respect. I don't know if the Bruins are exactly the fit for him because they're not a Cup contender right now. And then you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. He played there as well. Of course, we remember the botched Bruins trade. He ended up with the Penguins, and then he lost him in the conference to the Bruins in the conference final. But you know, I just think that they make a lot more sense. He's pretty tight with Sidney Crosby. He's familiar with the team. So I think if he's going to come back, it's more likely going to be, you know, the Penguins, maybe the Rangers. They're starting to get their act together. It's still close enough to home for him, home being here. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think the Bruins will definitely try.
And for those of you following us on Twitter last night, we were going back and forth. Jimmy, you had some music story you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, so you know what? I think Tuca, the Tuca stuff kind of prompted it. And, you know, I had a good conversation with Tuca the other day. We just started a segment on CLNS called Puck Rocks, where I'm going to be interviewing hockey players. You know, we'll talk hockey, obviously, but it's more about what their music passion is. And, you know, we had a great combo with Tuca, and it was really fun. He was telling us about how when he was growing up, part of his education was always just learning any different type of music he could, whether it was classical, rock, jazz, what have you. He learned how to play about five instruments growing up, and he's a huge metal fan, huge Metallica fan. But it got me thinking, you know, I said I want to get him and a couple of the guys on the team to jam. And I remember this time where I'm not even sure what prompted this story last night, because I will admit I had a couple in me watching the Pats. But and I was pretty into that. Man, they just dominated. But Anyhow, a couple, I think it must have been 2005, because it was the day before Joe Thornton was traded from the Boston Bruins. I was hanging around waiting on an interview from him, and, you know, it took forever, and then I started hearing music playing. And so I went over back to the back of the dress room over at Resurgence Arena in Wilmington, Mass., where they used to practice, and I walk in, and it's Joe Thornton, Brian Ralston, I forget who the other guy was, a defenseman, and then the trainer just jamming out and playing Pearl Jam tunes. And they put me on the mic, and we were cranking out some tunes. It was probably one of the coolest experiences of my media career.
Well, if we want to put together a Boston band, Bronson Arroyo's still hanging around with the guitar. He was on the radio last week playing some Pearl Jam.
Oh, is he still in the area?
I don't know if he was just visiting or if he still lives here, but he's still playing. Okay. He's looking, so maybe we go Tuca on the backing guitar, Bronson Arroyo lead guitar
Tuca's
and vocals.
A drummer now.
Really?
Wants to be on the drum.
That makes sense.
All right,
so
we'll put him on the drum.
We got Bronson on the vocals and lead guitar, Tuca as a drummer. Chara must play the bass, right? The big stand-up bass. He's tall enough to do it.
like one of those rockabilly bands.
Yeah, I'd pay money to see that show.
Yeah, that'd be good stuff, man. Maybe we got something there. That's our side job now.
He is Jimmy Murphy. You can follow him on Twitter at MurphyHockeyLaw74, and you can find his work at clnsmedia.com. Jimmy, thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you again later this season.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Like we always do with this time. I get the shine.
Welcome back to the show. There was a lot that happened last week, Lebowitz. The world got turned upside down last week.
It did, for multiple reasons.
So, we have a lot we're passionate about. Obviously, we're trying to keep the shows shorter. So this is a segment we like to call Alex and Alex Read Headlines. We're just going to read the big headlines of the last week and react as appropriate. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. First headline of the week, Martellus Bennett goes off on Packers and their team doctor. Talked a bit about Bennett at the top of the show. I know a lot of Packers fans are hurt. I'd be too if my team lost a player like that. But if Bennett wants to play for one team and not for another, he has every right. He shouldn't have called the doctor out by name, but outside of that, I have zero problem with anything he's done.
It's a bad look for him. He deserves criticism. I think when you throw someone under the bus who doesn't deserve it, you're going to get criticized, and he opens his mouth. And he always bashes other organizations when he's on the way out, which is a pattern. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth, personally.
Just another guy that only works in New England.
Jerry Jones doubles down on his threats over Goodell's compensation. This obviously due to Ezekiel Elliott serving his 6-game suspension.
Yeah, I feel for neither of these guys. It's funny. I'm just enjoying this. It's, you know, sit back, open the popcorn. This is our reward for suffering through Deflategate.
What a hypocrite, though. He looks so bad given how
Jones?
Yeah, Tom Brady thing and now this, which is way more egregious, awful look.
Whose side are you on if you have to pick a side?
Neither. I can't.
I know.
Death.
The fact
death.
They're going to offer Goodell the use of a private plane for life. Like, what are these contracts? And the fact that Goodell got pissed it wasn't guaranteed is the biggest hypocrisy of all of it. Goodell being upset about not guaranteed contracts. We move on here. It's Alex and Alex Read Headlines on the Calling It podcast. The city of Newton is at war over leaf blowers. So we record just up the road from Newton, Massachusetts. And if you haven't read this article, it's on the Boston Globe. Go check it out. Some woman in Newton has nothing better to do with her day. She's literally, because she's upset that leaf blowers are too loud, she is driving her car around the city lecturing landscapers about their leaf blowers. If you have nothing better to do on a weekday afternoon than drive around and lecture these people who are taking care of the lawn, you need to look at yourself in the mirror. This is absolutely pathetic with everything we have going on in this country. And you know what? I'm sorry. You don't want the leaf blowers? Go get a rake and rake your own damn leaves. Don't try to make other people's lives more difficult. If this woman doesn't want leaf blowers in her town, she can go rake every single leaf in the city of Newton. Okay? It's pathetic.
I respect it.
Really?
I love a good grudge. This lady has a chip on her shoulder.
No, this
she
is...
hates everyone and everything, and she's letting the world know. This is awesome.
The winner of this is whoever put up a Craigslist posting with her phone number saying that selling leaf blower, call this number, only call after 10 p.m. That person would.
That's a great one. All right, Carlos Beltran, he announces his retirement, goes out on top in a World Series with the Astros this year. He has quite a legacy, though. Definitely a Hall of Famer, lock for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, good for him. I'm happy. One of my favorites always to watch, even though he seemed to always be on teams I was rooting against.
Yeah.
We were at that game, the final game of the Red Sox season. He had that big hit. So the MLB loses a good one, but best of luck to him in what's next. Welcome to a world with 280 character tweets. That's right. Twitter expanded to 280 if you haven't noticed, if you've been under a rock. This is dumb. We don't need more Twitter. We need less Twitter. You're going to give these unhinged lunatics more of a platform? No, this is a terror. If I didn't need to be on Twitter for work, I wouldn't be on Twitter. Twitter is the downfall of our society. As important as the internet is to my life, I wish it didn't exist. The internet is not a good thing. For all it helps, it hurts. Stop giving people more of a Twitter platform.
Oh, it's awful. Twitter is a cesspool, and the 280 character limit, it only benefits those self-righteous a-holes who go on threads. It will cut it down to from eight tweets to four. I don't care for it. It's fine. I don't know.
This is not political either. This is just in general. Twitter's annoying.
It's you know what? We'll get over it. That's the reality. I just talked myself out of hating it. All right. Conor McGregor, he entered the Bellator ring and confronted the referee because he was supporting one of his teammates, one person who signed to his late, whatever it is. The ref thought that he was attacking him, took him off the guy, and then he went after the official. Bad look for Conor McGregor, but it was hilarious to watch.
Well, let's see. How about the official fights McGregor and the winner gets Mayweather?
That'd be great.
All right. Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts bowls a perfect 300 in the World Series of Bowling. At least one Red Sox is having some championship success. We've known Mookie Betts is a good bowler for a long time, and it's always a fun little off-season story following that.
It's just such an obscure hobby to have. Do you know the other Red Sox player who bowled the 300?
No.
Played early 2000s. I don't know if you remember this name.
Mark Bellhorn?
John Burkett.
Of course I remember John Burkett.
Yeah.
Of course I remember. He was like his 40-year-old pitcher.
Is it Burkett or Burkett?
Burkett. I thought you were going to, and you thought I didn't know who it was. I'm going to ask you this. Do you know what other sport Mookie Betts excelled in high school besides bowling and baseball?
Archery?
It's also a B.
Oh, B.
Badminton.
Badminton.
Excellent
okay.
Badminton player, Mookie Betts.
Doesn't surprise me. All right. ESPN's 30 for 30 special. They just announced they're coming out with the two bills, which is going to premiere this winter. It's on Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells and their relationship when Belichick worked under Parcells.
Well, it's more than that. It's just the two of them sitting down at a table. And if it was up to me, there'd be no narrator, no storyline. Just put the two of them down, put some game tape, and let them just talk X's and O's football. That trailer just right into my veins. I think 30 for 30s, I still enjoy them, but the quality's been going down a little bit.
Yeah.
I was disappointed to see a Ric Flair 30 for 30 because that's not sports. It's sports entertainment. I know people liked it. I found it disappointing for the franchise. This is getting back to what it's supposed to be about. I cannot wait.
Well, I don't know. I think people are going to be disappointed because you're putting two old men in a room together.
Most people will be disappointed. Football hardos like me are going to watch it over and over.
But the thing is, it's not like they're going to open up to each other and like cry and hold each other. They're just going to be like, yep, that was fun.
Right, and that's what I want. I want them to talk about, you know, in 98 when on 2nd and 12 against Cincinnati, we ran it off left tackle and said, like, I want that. I don't need emotions.
There will be no bearing the hatchet, so don't expect it in this one.
I don't need that. I just need X's and O's. All right, that was Alex and Alex Read Headlines. That's going to do it for our show this week. As always, make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Callin' It Podcast. And you can hear us on the CLNS Media app as well. You can download that for your smartphone. And check us out on clnsmedia.com. Next week, I think more of the same.
Yep.
Will there be another Celtics victory Monday next week?
Let's hope.
Patriots, we'll see, but a Celtics victory Monday next week would be huge. That's it for us. He is Alex Lebowitz. I'm Alex Barth. We will talk to you next time. This has been Callin' It, brought to you by CLNS.